So let's take it from the last two words of pei beis and beis. The Gemara was talking a lot about androgynous. So Gemara continues that conversation and says, "Amar Rav, going on to now daf pei gimel, lesa lemasnisin mekame brisa. We don't hold to the mission, the face of the brisa. We reject the mission. What does the mission say? The mission says, if you look at Rashi in the very top, he says lesa lemasnisin." Dikatani the Rabbi Yosi androgynous machil es isha b'tshuma. According to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi was of the opinion that androgynous is a vadai zachar, in which case he could be machil es isha b'tshuma. But the Brisa teaches us, says Rashi, mekame Brisa dikatani the Rabbi Yosi, it's only a sveikahu. So Gemara says that according to Rav, the Mishnah is rejected less than masnisin mekame Brisa, the face of the Brisa, the Mishnah is rejected. What does the Brisa exactly say? So the Gemara quotes Tanya. Rabbi Yosi Omer androgynous birya bifnei atzmohu. It's a separate creation of some sort. V'lo hechriya bo chachamim im zachar im nekeva. And chacham are not able to ascertain whether they have a din of a male or a female. Now Tosas points out here that the usage of birya is different than the rest of Shas. If you look at Tosas on the top here, Tosas writes birya bifnei atzmo. Omari dehai birya lo have perusho kigon birya shem makomos acherim she'eino safek ela birya. The Kamarhacha Hainu Shu Safik. Elsewhere, birya means it's a separate entity, a separate creation, a separate animal. Here, it doesn't mean a separate being. It just means it's a Safik. It remains a Safik as opposed to Vada or Nekeva, but not the way it's used classically. Either way, the Brisa clearly says that Rabbi Yosi holds that androgynous is only a Safik, while Mishnah says it's a Vada. So Gemara says, how come we're choosing the Brisa over the Mishnah? Adirabba. Lesa lebrisa mekame masnisin. We should say the brisa should not hold water in the face of the Mishnah. The Mishnahs are typically stronger than that of brisas. And the Gemara brings a raya, which is not such a strong raya, as we'll see in Tosvos. Medeshavki Rabbi Yosi lebarzuge shmamina hadarbe. Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah was coupled together with Rabbi Shimon. They both held that androgynous was a vadai. Now the fact that Brisa stands alone, he separates himself from Rabbi Shimon, indicates that he must have retracted and possibly like Brisa. Tosas, what kind of kasha is that? Maybe look at Tosas, the one line Tosas and the medium wide lines that Tosas writes to Biosi lebarzuge tema. Dilma hadarbe mi Brisa legabi Rabbi Shimon demasisa. Maybe Rabbi Yosi initially held by himself as a Safik, and maybe he retracted to agree to Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. So unclear what the raya is here, why the Brisa is any stronger than the Mishnah, but that's what the Gemara suggests. That's all the understanding of Rav again, that we reject the Mishnah and we embrace the opinion of Rabbi Yosi in the Brisa that he holds androgynous is in fact a Safik. Now the Gemara says, Shmuel Amar lesa lebrisa mekame masnisin. He says the opposite. Though there is no brisa, we don't hold to the brisa in the face of the Mishnah. Other Rabbi Gemara says, other Rabbi should be the opposite. Lesa lemasnisin mekame brisa. We shouldn't hold of the Mishnah because of the brisa. The hashemaina leila Shmuel the chayish liyichud lichida. In general, Shmuel is an opinion he holds of even a das yachid he holds of. So now the brisa is a das yachid. It's only Rabbi Yosi. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi is together coupled with Rabbi Shimon. So in general, Shmuel is always choshish for the das yachid. So shouldn't he hold to the brisa who's a das yachid and not the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, the only time Shmuel is choshish ledas yachid, hani mile kilomas akri masisa. When the Mishnah isn't uprooting, when the Mishnah doesn't go against it, then it'll be choshish for a das yachid that exists out there. About kimis akri masisa, when the Mishnah has to be uprooted and against this das yachid, lo chayish is not concerned, and therefore we reject the brisa, the das yachid and the brisa, and according to Shmuel, we hold on to, we embrace the Mishnah. So that's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, which is stronger in this case, the Mishnah or the brisa. So Gemara now says, Amri Beirav. Beirav, figure out who Beirav is in just a moment, towards the end. Amri Beirav, Mishmei the Rav in the name of Rav. Halacha Krabiosi Bandrognis Herkava. That according to Rav, we hold the Rabiosi in the two areas called Androgynous and Herkava. We'll see that. And Shmuel says, Amar, we hold the Rabiosi in the world of Bakushi Bekiddish. So what are these four instances? So Rav holds of two cases, Shmuel holds of two cases. So Androgynous, we hold like Rabiosi, Hadamar, that's what we already had said. And Gemara says Rashi, we hold Rav holds of Androgynous with regards to Rabbi Yosi Shita, that he holds it's a Safik. It's a Safik, or rather it's a Vadai, according to the Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, Harkava, what's the case of Harkava? Harkava means grafting. It's not, the Mishnah tells us that Ein Notin, Vein Mavrichin, Vein Markivin Erev Shavis, Pachos Mishloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. One's not allowed to plant, one's not allowed to be Mavrich, which is kind of taking the vines, the grapevines, and putting it back in the ground of some sort. And Markivin is some type of grafting, of connecting some of the trees and helping it regrow itself. So this is all not allowed. Erev Shavuos, pachas mishloshim yom, within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah. That's called Tosefes Shavuos. Vimnata v'hivrich v'hirkiv Yaakov. One does so within 30 days. He has to uproot it because that's already called doing work on during the Shemitah year because we have a din of Tosefes Shavuos. That's all the 30 days within. On this Mishnah, we have a machlokas now. It doesn't really mean 30. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kolar Kava She'eno Kolatesh B'Shlosh Yamim Shuveno Kolatesh. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, it takes 3 days to be kolate, to grasp the ground, to start taking root. It's 3 days, not 30 days. According to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Omer M'shtei Shabbos, it actually takes 2 weeks. So there's a big machlokas. Is it 30 days? Is it 3 days? Or is it 2 weeks that you have to before Shemitah starts? And now the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Ledivrei Omer, the one who says Shloshim, it really means Tzarech Shloshim Ushloshim. It means 30 plus 30, because the truth is, Shemitah doesn't start Rosh Hashanah. Shemitah really starts Aleph Elul, what, 30 days before him. So for the Harkava to take effect, it needs 30 days before Elul to really be good, considered the year of 6 and not the year of Shemitah itself. So you really need 60 days before Rosh Hashanah. That's according to the one who requires 30 days. And the Divrei Omer Shlosha, one who requires 3 days for things to take root. Tzarech Shlosha Ushloshim, you really need 33 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, which is another way of saying 3 days prior to Rosh Chodesh Elul. And the Divrei Omer, the one who holds Shtei Shabbos, is 2 weeks. Tzarech Shtei Shabbos Ushloshim, you need 2 weeks plus 30 days, in other words, 2 weeks prior to Rosh Chodesh Elul. So here it says, Rav, we hold like Rabbi Yossi as well in the world of Arkava. Now, even though Pashup Shah, this mission we just discussed, is referring to the halachas of Shemitah, if you look at Tosos, Dibra Maschala Divrei Omer Shloshim Tzarech Shloshim V'Shloshim, says Tosos quoting Rabbeinu Tam, Delav Ashvius Kai. It's not referring to the year Shemitah. Dele'inin Nitia Leka Tosefes Shvius. Tosefes Shvius doesn't affect Netiyah. He doesn't say what it does affect, but it affects actually Charish. You can't plow during Tosefes Shvius, but you actually can plant during Tosefes Shvius. So this cannot be referring to the Isser Netiyah of Tosefes Shvius, Lesser Netiyah, Hanikla, but Tosefes Shvius. Ella is referring to halachas of the Inun Arla. In terms of counting the halachas of Arla, that's actually what the Gemara is referring to. It's certainly not Pasha Pshat, but that was Rabbeinu Tam's understanding. So that's all Rav, who again said, we hold like Rabbi Yossi by Androgynous, we hold like Rabbi Yossi by Harkava. Now Gemara says Shmuel, around 8 lines up from the bottom here. Shmuel Amar, B'Kushi V'Kiddush. Now we hold like Rabbi Yossi in the world of Kushi and the world of Kiddush. What are these two categories? Kushi, the Tanan, the Mishnah says, Kama Yeh Kushiah Yeha. How long is her difficulty of giving birth? So the halacha is a woman, she goes through, pains, labor pains. It could take a couple days. It could take a couple weeks sometimes. So what happens if she's seeing blood for a long period of time? How much could we attribute that blood to a very long labor and delivery? Or maybe it's considered blood of her being a Zava. And if she's a Zava, that means when she's finished being Yoledah, she has to count Shiva Nikim before going to the mikvah. If she just has Yoledah, she has to wait periods of time of seeing blood that's Tame, blood that's Tar, but there's no need for Shiva Nikim. But if she's a Zav and then gives birth while being a Zava, she has to wait also Shiva Nikim at the end of not seeing Dam anymore. So it's very important to know, how long do you attribute the blood to being Leda? Or maybe it's considered a Zava. So the Gemara says, the Tan, the Mishnah says, Kama Yekusheha, how long does it last for this difficult, the pains of labor? Remeir Omer, Arbaim, Chamishim Yom, it lasts 40, 50 days. And if she gives birth at the end of 40, 50 days of seeing Dam and having difficulty, that's all considered part of Yoledes, and that's not considered part of the Zava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Chadasha. We only allow for 1 month, around 30 days, no more than that. If it's more than 30 days, we have to attribute it to being Zava. And Rabbi Yossi, which is the opinion we want, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Ein Kisho Yossi Mishtei Shabbos, says it can only last 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks, you already start attributing the Dam, not to the later, but we attribute to the Zava. So that's the halacha where we pass on Rabbi Yossi, 2 weeks is all we allow her for the difficulty of giving birth. Then the Gemara says, Kiddush, what's the halacha of Kiddush? Do we also pass on Rabbi Yossi? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kalayim, it says that Hamasachi Gefano al Gavi Tuvaso. There's a din in Issa Deraisa of mixing, crossbreeding grapevines along with wheat and other grains. So a person Masachi Gefano, he kind of extends the grapevines over the Tuvaso Shechaveru, his friends grapes or grain rather. Hareza Kiddush V'Chai Bachriso. He's now ruined his friend's property, his friend's grains, and now Kiddush with Issa Klaim, and he has to pay the damage he's caused him. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon both argue. Omrim, they say, going on to now pay Gimel Mabez, Ein Adam Oser Davar Shein Shalom. You have no right to Oser that which is not yours, and therefore it doesn't Oser, and there is no responsibility. Nothing is Oser. There is no Iser Klaim. We pass the Rabbi Yossi as well in the halacha of Misachich. Tosa asks a very interesting question on the top here. Tosa asks, Ein Adam Osa davar shein shelo. Really? Vim tomer maishna minosi nevelo chelav b'tavshel shel chaver shenetzel. Let's say I drop some chelav. I drop some milk in your chul. I drop a nevela, so that won't be usher since it's not mine. Of course that will be usher. The metzias is that there's a nevela, there's a trefa, there's a chelav in there. So when do we say, yes, the person can usher someone else's property as food? And when do we say you cannot? So Tosas writes, normally, of course, if the metzias is nevela trefa, that's of course usher. However, here, Amar Rabbi Yossi, or Ri, rather, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Bedavar Hataloi B'machshavahu, that which depends on one's machshava, Damar Hachi, Kagon Mishtachavela Behemoth Chaver, if I bow down to your behema, that's not going to work. Da'afilo Asa B'maisa Kagon Sheshachta, Ikal Mandamar Lulasa. So somehow you have to understand each particular case. Like, for example, Hektish, I can't be maktish your property. It depends on my machshava. I can't be maktish that which is not mine. So too, he writes, kalaim, it's a kalaim also dependent on machshava. It's not dependent on metzias. It depends on machshava, thought. And therefore, I have no ability to answer yours since that's totally machshava. How that works, machshava, unclear. I'll just give you an example where we see also kalaim is not about the actual metzias. Because there's a halacha that you need a wall between kalaim and Geffen, so they don't cross breed. But what happens if I have a tourist of Pesach, like we learn Ervin? I have a pole here, and a pole going across. That's a tourist of Pesach. Will that work for Klein? Now someone would tell me, of course it wouldn't work. It's not stopping the grains and grapes from mixing together. But the halacha is it actually does stop. It doesn't stop it physically. Halachically, we view that as considered a separation, as if there's a mechitza there, and that's good enough. Even though b'metzias there is some, crossbreeding, that's sufficient. So when it comes to klaim, it doesn't depend on actual metzias; it depends on machshava. So Gemara now asks on top. We had that Rav said we passed the Rav Yossi in two cases, and Shmuel said two other cases. Now Gemara wants to know what does Rav hold of the case of Shmuel, and what does Shmuel hold of the cases of Rav? Asks Gemara, Ibailu. But androgynous, Mali Amar Shmuel, what does Shmuel hold in terms of androgynous? Do we also pass the Rabbi Yossi or do we not? The Tashma, Amar Shmuel, the Rav Anan, Lesa, Lebraisa, Mekami Bamesis. We saw before on Amar Aleph that he doesn't hold the Lebraisa in the face of the Mishnah, which means that he holds that Rabbi Yossi holds Zachar Vadar. So what about Harkava, Mali Amar Shmuel? What does he hold with respect to Harkava Shmuel? Tashma, Amar Le Shmuel, the Rav Anan, Tani Kaman Damar Shlosha Ushloshmi holds you require 33 days, which is against the Shita Rabbi Yossi, that's the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara flips it. What about Rav? What does Rav hold by the case of Shmuel? So Koshi, Mali Amar Rav, how long does he say the Koshi can last for? Take, Gemara says we have no rise either way, we have no answer, take. What about Kiddush in terms of the Issa Kalayim? Mali Amar Rav, what does Rav hold in that case? Amar of Yosef Tashma, the Amar of Huna, Amar Rav, ain halacha Rabbi Yossi. We do not pass the Rabbi Yossi by Kiddush. In other words, we say that it is Aser by Kiddush, while Rabbi Yossi felt it was Muth because ain adam osa davar she'ein shalom. So here we have a statement that Rav Huna quotes from Rav, the ain halacha Rabbi Yossi. So Amar Le Abai says, wait a second, Rabbi Yosef. My chazis the samchas aha. Why are you trusting on this statement of Rav Huna quoting Rav? Samach aha. You should be samach on the different statement that Rav Ada Amar Rav. Rav Ada also quotes Rav, who holds halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. That we pass like Rabbi Yossi legabe klaim, legabe kiddush, and it should not be aser. So I'll tell you why we prefer Rav Huna's quote of Rav as opposed to Rav Ada's quote of Rav. Because we have a cloud that Amri Bei Rav, Manu, who is, when we say Amri Bei Rav, that Bei Rav holds, the base magic Rav holds, who are we really quoting? That's actually Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is the Amar, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, Ein Halacha, which is like not like Rabbi Yossi. That's why we prefer Rav Huna over Rav Ad, because apparently Rav Huna was more versed in the base medrash. Perhaps he was from the base medrash of Rav more so than Rav Ada. So now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah from the other day. The Mishnah is quoted as saying, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tumtum. The Tumtum Shenikra Nimsa Zacha, says the Mishnah, Lo Yachlot Mibnei Shehu Kesaris. The Chalitz is not performed. He's a Saris, and we don't do Chalitz when a person's a Saris. So Amar Rav Ami, my Avid Lay, Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda do with the following Maisa that apparently a well-known Maisa? Tumtum de Beri, Tumtum who lived in a city called Biri, de Osre Abe Kursi, he sat on some type of chair, Vikre, and the area ripped, the Olid Sheva Banim, he was Ochet to have seven sons afterwards. So how could Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah suggest that a Tumtum Nikra Vinimta Zachar, he can't have children? This Maisa, clearly, this Tumtum had seven children. So Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, Amarle Chazar Abanav Manheim, you should look into where the children come from. I don't believe they come from this Tumtum, they must have came from elsewhere. Do a little bit more research, don't trust that the Tumtum was the father. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa now, Tani Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, this is the son of Rabbi Yehuda above. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Tumtum lo yachotz, he agrees to his father that a tumtum does not perform chalitza, but he says it a little bit differently. We'll see an afkamin in just a moment. Shema yikra v'nim sasaris chama. Perhaps the area will tear, and it'll be clear that he's a male, and the zachar is a saris in the case of a tumtum. Gemara says, "Atu kol de mikre zachar habi." Is it true that every tumtum, then when we see the area, is necessarily a male? So sometimes they're females. Different people are born different ways. So Gemara says, "Halchi kamar." Shema yikra v'nim sa nekeva. Maybe the area will tear open, and you'll see that's actually a nekeva. So certainly chalitza won't be performed by her. And even if you find that's really a male, Shema Yimsa Zaris Chama, so then perhaps he's going to be a Zaris Chama. So we see from here that Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi holds that it's only a Shema Zaris Chama. Rabbi Yehuda held who's a Vadai Zaris Chama, a Tumtum Shinikra Vinimsa Zachar. So what's an Afkamina where he's a Vadai Zachar or Vadai Zaris versus a Safik Zaris? So Gemara brings two Afkaminas. My Benai, what's the difference? We'll look at Rashi to explain. Amar Rava, Lifsal B'makom Achin. So what's the naf? What are those nafkaminas? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, "My benayu around 15 narrow lines down or so. My benayu, my ika ben Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda la'avua. What's the difference between him and his father, Rabbi Yehuda? Lifsol b'makom achin. Im yesh achin shleimim imo. If he has other brothers who are full, which I mean, healthy, regular males, and v'chalitz la tumtum, and the tumtum performs the chalitz instead of the brothers." The Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Shu Kisaris, that he holds Vada, he's a Saris, this Tumtum, Machzik La Besaris Vada, we assume he's a Vada, V'lo Pas Le'alach Achim, he doesn't disqualify the other ones, Umis Havemis, in other words, no Chalitza, Chalitza wasn't registered, because he's a Vada Saris, and they just, it was worthless, it was meaningless, this the Chalitza, so we allow Yivam to be performed by the other brothers. However, according to Biosi, he holds he's a Shema Saris, but he also might not be a Saris, so maybe the Chalitza was really Chal, and Misafe would disqualify the brothers from performing Yibum. Says Rashi, Ule Rabbi Yossi, Shema Katani, Sveku, Upasla Ha'achen, Dilma Lav Saris Havet. Maybe he's not really Saris, maybe he's a healthy person. V'chalitza he, it's a good Chalitza, and that would answer the other brothers from doing a Yibum. And then the Rashi says the next Nafkamin is Lachlot Shlob B'Makom Achon. If there are no other brothers, Im Ein Sham Ach Elohu, he's the only brother, this Tumtum, according to Yehuda, Lo Bai Chalitza Bineh. You don't need Chalitza because he's a Sris Vadai. But according to Yossi, where he's a Safik, Bai Chalitza Misafik, Misafik, he should require Chalitza before allowing her to marry to the Shuk. The Gemara now says back inside, halfway down the Amud here, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Achuad Rav Yehuda Bar Zivdi, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, a lot of different names. Androgynous, like we saw yesterday's daf, androgynous, chayavim alav skila mishem ekomos. The androgynous is chayiv mishum mishkav zachar from both the areas, from both the front and the back. So Gemara then says, Meisive, Rabbi Eliezer Amar, androgynous chayavim alav skila, he's chayiv in skila, kizachar, like a male. Bidmamedmamurim, bizicho shalo avabinikevi shalo pater. Only from one direction, but not both mekomos. So this goes against what Rav Shmuel said above. So we have a Bryce, a Tana goes against him. So how can an Amora go against the Tana? Well, it says no, because there's another Tana that supports him. Hu damer kiyai Tana. The Tana, the Bryce, says, Rabbi Simai Omer, androgynous chayav malav skila mishtei makomos. They're mishtei makomos and androgynous is chayav for. So that's consistent with the opinion of Rav above, that androgynous is chayav mishtei makomos. So my time with the Rabbi Simai, why is Rabbi Simai only hold from makom zichas, not makom nikevos? So Amar Rav bar Hamaduri, Asvar Li, I'll explain it to you. It says in the pasuk, "Zachar lo tishkiv mishkivei isha." So, Ezu Zachar, who's a male? Sheish bo shnei mishkavos. There are two mishkavos, two makamos. Havi Omer is androgynous. That's referring to an androgynous. So that's how he holds that. Rabbi Simai holds that the shnei makamos androgynous is chayiv for. Rabbanan who say only be zichos, but not be nekevos. Rabban say afogav this be shnei mishkavos as zachar ksiv. Even though there might be shnei mishkavos, in the end of the day it says as zachar only in the singular, only one area is ichayv. Rabbanan zachar grei deminale. So all we know now from this pasuk is that a person who's an androgynous is subject to the iser mishkav zachar. How do we know a regular zachar, regular male, is also subject to the iser of mishkav zachar? Say it says in the pasuk minale mi isha. So I think there's a girsa change here. I really should say the word, I think, the S isha, it says in the Bach here. The extra word, V'es, that's what you know. That's its Aser. So now, what about Isha, Shlo Kedarka? How do you know the Iser of Isha, Shlo Kedarka when it comes to the Arayos, Minale? Mi V'isha. So all these extra letters and words are including all the different Iser. So Amar Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Chizda, Lo Lechol, Amar Belazar, Androgynous, Zachem Al Yehu. When Rabbi Eliezer above said that Androgynous is a Vadei Zachar, he's Vadei a male. It's not legabi every single halacha. It's only legabi some halachas. She'imata omer kain. If you were to say it's considered zachar legabi all halachas, b'mukdashim mikadosh u'minala nedili kadosh, so it really should be kadosh. If a person wants to be makdish a behema, if an animal is an androgynous, it should really be chal. If he's really a zachar, it should be chal, because when it comes to certain karbanos, it can only be a zachar and a keva. In other words, when it comes to a chatas has to be in a keva. When it comes to an ola, it has to be a zachar. When it comes to a shalom, it could be either one. So if I'm makdish a behema, androgynous to be an ola, if we assume androgynous is a zachar vada, it should be chal. We're about to prove from a Mishnah that an androgynous, if one's makdish an androgynous, it actually is in chal, so it must be that he doesn't always hold that an androgynous is considered a zachar vada. Where do we see minol and delo kiddush? How do we know if one's makdish a behema androgynous, it's not chal? The Tanya Rabbanan, the Brises, the Mishnah says that hanirva, vamuksa, vanevad, vaesen, umichir, vitumtum, androgynous, all these categories are metamin begodim abeis ablir. The metamin abeis ablir. Why is that? You look at Rashi. Rashi says metamin begodim kedin nivlas of tahor. If a person were to eat a kosher animal that hasn't been shechted but it died, that's even though it's a kosher animal, he would be metamin when he eats such a bird. He'd be metamin begodim when he eats it. The chayven de ein ruin la krava. Since these animals now, these birds are not rois for a krava, kedetanya mina behema lahotzi rovea venirva betmura and so on and so forth. The malika is not a malika, it's a nevela. Normally malika only works if it's a carbon, if it's kachim. But malika on a non-kachim, it's simply a nevela. So by you shechting an animal with malika, and it's not a carbon, it's its essence in nevela. And one who eats it would be considered a nivlas of tower, and would be tamiz begadim. So it's on this list here. So that's all the Tanakama. Comes along now in the mission, says Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tumtum v'androgynous ein metamina megadim abeis ablia. He does not hold that the metame. Why? Shahaya Rabbi Eliezer Omer kol makom shenemar zachar nekeva atemoti tumtum v'androgynous mibineim v'of ho v'lo nemar bo zachar nekeva yatemoti tumtum v'androgynous mibineim. He says, you're right. In general, androgynous is not called a zachar. But the only time we exclude androgynous from halacha is when the pasuk tells me explicitly zachar or nekeva. But since it doesn't specify by a oaf you need a zachar nekeva, that implies that you can include androgynous, would be kosher for a bird to be as a carbon. But for a behema, the implication is it wouldn't be good. So we see clearly that not for every halacha would the din be that the androgynous is necessarily considered a zachar vada. Okay? So we'll, I guess, stop here. Interesting sugyas, and then we'll continue with Hashem tomorrow.